Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
Well, welcome back. And how's that missile ride going for you right now? We are taking off, and we want you to strap on because this is going to be a ride for your life. And so, as we tell you all the time, it's now or never. We're giving you the content, everything you need to actually understand what government we have, what was founded, I should say, what government was founded as, what it should be doing, and how to get it back to what it's doing. Because most people kind of know it's not doing what it's supposed to be doing. And I'm going to be really good today, and I'm going to remind myself to please go to the Reclaiming the Republic YouTube channel. Reclaiming the Republic YouTube channel. Go there and subscribe. As our subscribership, you know, as a part of the subscribership, you're going to be notified when we start putting more and more content up onto the channel. So hopefully, once we get through this legislative session, we will actually start cutting through all of the Constitution podcast. That way, when I read the Constitution and went through the violations. So, because I think that's important first. Let's get that up there. We were talking about possibly doing the ratification debates. I will find out tonight whether that can be foregone and actually go through what we're doing this year for the ratification debates. This is going to be up there permanently. That way, we don't necessarily have to point you to, but maybe what in the years to come, we can kind of keep a really good overview of what we have up there just to remind you and give you nuggets to say, go download this and listen to this. When I have to repeat myself over and over again on a yearly basis, it gets redundant on my end, and it gets redundant on those people who've heard this all before. We try to cover this in a different way, in a different view, so that people actually, you know, start garnering more from it. And and it always helps to take a look at something from a different perspective, from a different angle. And it's not that I'm tapped out. It's just that we should be a lot further along. And so I need to help get you to understand the exigencies of the times, the urgency of the times. So what we want to do is basically kind of ask you, what content do you need me and us to cover? What do you need us to cover? We drill into the politics, we drill into platforms. I mean, we get into some of that. Do you want us to get into more of that and more formalized? What is it? There's a lot of things that we don't think is really necessary. Like, I hear some entertainers get into, and as a matter of fact, there's a really very popular entertainer that is, you know, all philosophy. What's his name? He had the drug problem. Doggone it. As a matter of fact, I get people to tell me, oh man, what this guy's brilliant. And it's not that he's not smart. He just doesn't understand the Constitution. Peterson, Mr. Peterson, whatever his name is. He's a Canadian. And that's why he does not understand the design of our Constitution. He's ensconced himself in philosophy, governments, and philosophical forms of government and such, but he doesn't understand how our framers had literally carved away that philosophical plane and made a very clean and simple government based on enumerated powers and based on a tiered system of governments where we the people are the foundation. It's an amazing thing when you really start looking at what we have, because there's so few people that as they look at it, well, that's just like China. That's just like, Canada. It's like Britain. It's like Australia. No, not at all. We are nothing like them. But we've had people in government that have actually made us that way. Ulysses S. Grant. I mean, he was a huge absconder of public land. He took land from the territories called Yellowstone and these other things. He had no authority to do. He was almost as tyrannical as Abraham Lincoln, almost. Out of all of the tyrants we've had, Biden, I think, is coming up to be, you know, pretty close to the worst, because he is the epitome of the monkey on the string dancing for the organ grinder. I mean, there's no original thought coming from this man whatsoever. He doesn't know. He just knows that he has to placate those who put him in office. And those who put him in office are realizing, you know, there's a huge liability. America owes the world an apology for allowing ourselves to get this far subverted, to have operatives, the globalists, operating within our government. We owe the world an apology for allowing this to happen. And the only way we can actually change this course is by taking back your counties and your states. Once we create sovereign counties and sovereign states, once we get the states to be sovereign again, we are well on our way, folks. Now, there's ways we can, you know, quick start this, getting South Dakota, getting Wyoming to get there. I believe in trying everything possible. But what we have to do is we have to assert sovereignty. We have to use American republicanism as designed. That's what saves America. So if there's any kind of content you want, let us know, please. And keep in mind, what is it you need and want from an organization? Do you really need an organization? Do you really need somebody to come in and sell you content? Do you need somebody to be able to provide you content? I don't think so. As a matter of fact, the Constitution courses that I the classes that I gave on the Constitution, bar none, dive into the Constitution and talk about, you know, what the essence of these things and how they're being violated. I challenge anybody to have something that gives you that same detail. I wish there were. Now, I know Douglas V. Gibbs has a pretty good curriculum, pretty decent. It's a curriculum that he has, and he sells it to you. And he made money off that, right? He sat down and wrote it all down. Me, I don't. I don't make any money off of it. We're putting it up for free on YouTube. And so if an organization wants to, you know, make themselves of value, then probably the one thing that an organization could really be of value, this is what we're trying to be, and I think that maybe Bob Schultz, the We the People Foundation, could do this, but I don't think he will, because what we want to do is we want to be a repository of constitutional First Amendment petitions. That's where we need to be. And so if we're not there, if we don't have that repository, then you don't have all of the ammo you need to actually prove to the people in your county. And I'm dying for getting assistance and trying to get help, other than having to do all of these things myself. And so at least I've got Paul Venable helping. I've got the CFL helping. I've got these good men in Wyoming helping. We've got people up in Montana helping, Virginia. Woody and what he's doing out there, Crystal Blessings, I hope that, you know, she can finally get to a point where she can help again out of Arizona. There's good people all over this country. We need your help. We need you to actually sit down and write out and if you don't know what you're doing, and by all means, check with us first. We can tell you if somebody else already has something in the works. We have a health freedom coming out of Virginia. We're hoping that, you know, Woody can get closed on that. Because, folks, if we have 30 to 50 petitions by this summer, that's a lot of damage you can sling. If you go weekly into your county commissioners and point out a violation of the Constitution every week, then you're going to be shaking and moving that county. And you got to go in every week and say, we've got another petition. This one is going to be doing this. And they go and let the Republican Party stand up and say, why do you keep doing this? And then point to what Martin Luther did and say, look, Martin Luther proved by his 95 theses that the Catholic Church was not living up to the gospel that was written in the Bible. And he was able to move the people's hearts and minds of the Germanic states in the direction of reforming the Catholic Church. We're proving, you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that almost everything the federal government is doing is unconstitutional. Therefore, we are giving you the 95 theses and all others necessary so that we can actually get the federal government, reform it back into its natural form, the way it is supposed to be operating in accordance with the Constitution. That's what we're doing. And so I can't say that that should be possibly the mission statement, or that should be... And maybe what I should do is write that down, because I think that that was a very tight articulation and, or, you know, a very good grouping of words that really hits the nail on the head. And so how can we help you? Now, we're going to start trying to get these calls going. Again, I told you it'll be, you know, very soon. Once we get the legislation and all these other things done, we will be there. And we're here for you, folks. We really are. So where are we regarding the ranting? So, because that's what we need to cover, right? Oh, and the reason I brought this whole thing up, by the way, is, you know, what can we do for you? Is because I've given you a curriculum. Is there something I'm missing? You know, and what I'm going to probably do is I'll probably put the curriculum up on the website so that we can kind of dive into, you know, what do we need to add to this? Let you dive into it and say, I'd like to know something more about this. We're here to help, and we're not from the government. And we'll be right back after this promo. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model, on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
All right, so let me get back to the ranting. Now, I'm only going to be touched, because the next thing I really want to rant about is education, and, or let's call it, the social engineering indoctrination system for 3 to 18-year-olds. And I say 3 because, as a matter of fact, if they could, they would want to seize, and they're trying, and they're getting very close to seizing full control over your children. In other words, they want to own and possess and control your child from birth. I told you that Hillary Clinton wanted to do this, that she basically, in her book, the It Takes a Village, she wanted to actually create a from prenatal to high school, they want full control of your child. There's a reason why they've gone down this path of prenatal, you know, and they give you these these questionable drugs that they call vitamins and everything else. Folks, have you ever validated what they're giving these mothers? Because I believe what they're doing is they're providing some fundamental nutrients that make a fundamental change in the development of that child. I believe that really what parents should do is they need to find out what are the fundamental nutrients that help a mother and the baby develop together, instead of taking these drugs that you have no idea what the heck's in them. And so, but they want to be able to control that. And they have. They've taken control of the prenatal care. All the doctors are promoting all of these different drugs, or, you know, these supposedly multivitamins. Why? You know, as a matter of fact, I think that what we need to do is actually, you know, start questioning everything that they're giving us. They deserve that level of scrutiny. Because when we see what they're doing in our school system, you should be very scared. You should be very scared indeed. And as a matter of fact, when it really comes down to their love and care for humanity, now it's extinct in our government. It doesn't care about humanity, and it does not care about life. As a matter of fact, life is something that's completely overabundant on this earth. And that's the paradigm of the Chinese communist regime. So how is it that it's been basically proliferated throughout the world? Because that's Satan's plan. We don't need so many people, because the more people you have, the harder it is to control them. Because these people, they have their minds of their own, and how dare they? Anyway, so when we look at the social engineering or indoctrination system, whatever you want to call it, look at its deviant curriculum. Now, first off, before we even look at the deviant curriculum, the question is, what is it that they need to be teaching to make America lead in science, in engineering, in arts, in everything that really makes this world go round? And I'm going to tell you, the things that have no bearing whatsoever in what makes this world go round is, you know, racism, this critical race theory, the sexuality, slavery, any of these types of topics. I mean, it's one thing to cover history in a mature forum with children that have the depth of knowledge, but to start teaching a child at a very young age, if you're white, you had your ancestors were slaves, and you should be sorry. You inflicted. I mean, I can't believe this. They are weaponizing our kids, and they're subduing your children to a perverted knowledge of history. When it comes to slavery, it was America that eradicated it. There's a really good video that talks and shows about slavery throughout the annals of mankind, and how slavery had existed, and it wasn't until America actually made the declaration, not even the Dutch, not even the Western society, we took it to where it needed to go, to be eradicated. Just because there was a political compromise doesn't mean that America was anything worse than every other country. But let's look at where slavery began, because what was the first empire? What was the first empire built on slavery after the flood and the destruction of humanity at that point in time? It was the Egyptian Empire. And do we need to tell you the ethnicity and origin of the earth where the Egyptian Empire formed? And do we need to tell you that that was a 3,500-year reign of terror, of slavery, and perversion, and deviation it wasn't until we started pulling away from that with the Greeks and Western civilized societies. I mean, we had a few empires that came from that. Yeah. Okay. So we had Rome, and then we had the Ottoman Empire. We had we had the Spanish, you know, Empire, the British Empire, now the American Empire. And now we're to feel guilty for taking the world away, taking slavery away from the world. We're to be feeling guilty. Folks, this is what they're doing. And this is how dark and evil they are for perverting the truth of history. I mean, I don't even have to dive into the details. That everything would come out if you just show the kids the truth. And you know what? Kids want to know the truth. And they really believe that these liars, these actors in the school system, are just that, telling them the truth. You need to start telling your kids that everything you're being told at school is a lie. And you can prove it. And so as you start going through, you can easily start countering this stuff. You know, I talked about this years ago, where you need to start creating a counter narrative and start sharing it with all the parents in your church and in your community, so that everybody is countering and teaching the children to focus on what's really important. Engineering, sciences, those types of things are important because that's what builds and fortifies our society, not social engineering and people having to play roles because you're white, you have to play this role, and because you're black, you have to play this role. Are you kidding me? I forget the gentleman's name. He's a financial. Are you nuts? Anyway, if you listen to him, you'll probably know. So it's not just there. It's the deviation of sexuality and what they are doing and teaching and exposing children at a very young age. They knew a long time ago how impressionable children were. There may be, you know, a curiosity of a child that, you know, well, you know, I have fingernails. Can I paint them too? But that's when you basically take the child and you start helping that child form, you know, the understanding of who he is, that he is like daddy. He is not like mommy. That, you know, let's do things. The only reason the femininity has a dominance is because 9 times out of 10, the person that has the control over the child, especially in divorces, is the woman. Folks, when we really start looking at how things go, and as a matter of fact, when we look at what the real solutions are, saving marriages is a solution. Saving both parents' involvement in the child's life is a solution. Allowing a child to be thrown into perverse situations and or bad situations where mom and dad aren't loving them somehow and guiding them and both being active in their lives, this is scientifically proven that the child is the one that gets hurt. The child is the one that has the problems. I mean, you want proof? Go look at Rosie O'Donnell's child. You go look at some. I mean, remember the theory, you know, there's these laws of science. There's the laws that, you know, magnetic force, nuclear force, right? Gravitational force. And those are laws because we have actually been able to prove that these are things that exist. Now, when we start examining circumstances and we start examining things and conditions of things, remember one rule. It's not a law, but it's a rule. When it comes to science, it takes time to measure results. You can't just do something once and say, wow, that's perfect. That's what we need to do. And then, you know, change all the factory codes and everything to do that one thing. And then all of a sudden realize, wow, that's really bad because that one thing was really the outlier. So it takes time to measure results for us to really understand. And teaching these types of principles to children at an early age is very, very important, because then they start learning to be critical thinkers. We need homeschool is a great way to go, but I'm telling you, folks, it is not the solution. We have today in school this indoctrination regarding slavery and everything else to be reparations. We need reparations, and Disney is behind this. They're behind the social engineering, and they want to start playing this kind of crap to kids because they're hoping that we will destroy ourselves by doing so. Because when you listen to the framers, they talk about bills of attainder, and they talk about bills ex post facto laws and those types of things to say something was now illegal and we have to pay for it. No. It was legal at the time, and then when we finally made it illegal, it had to end. So should there be reparations if somebody was a slave afterwards? Yes. But no reparations from that point before it became illegal until the 13th Amendment or whatever for the states. And the southern states didn't come back into the Union until after the ratification of the 14th Amendment. So let's be clear here, folks. If we're going to start teaching children the truth, it's okay. We want them to have the truth of things that they have the maturity to understand. Let's not force them to be exposed to content and subject matter that they're not prepared to process. They don't have the minds capable of that. Math is a good thing to expose them to. We'll be right back after this.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of Liberty. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
We could go on and on and on and on. But the fact is, what the government is doing is they're weaponizing our children. And even if you are out homeschooling, it is not a solution. The only solution, folks, in saving America from ourselves, from this programming and social engineering, is to eradicate the education system and the pipeline of garbage that is being poured into these schools. That's the only way. And I'm going to actually take kind of this detachment now. I was listening over the weekend to the Charlie Kirk show, I think. It was Charlie Kirk and Dennis Prager. And apparently they were talking about getting rid of schools altogether. And they said, oh, well, we want to keep Hillsdale College and all of that. And I go, no. If you shut down the physical buildings of the school, that doesn't change. What we have to do is we have to eradicate the federal government's controls over the education system. This is where it forces an actual open dialogue of what is best to feed and help and teach our children. There's way too many people right now. And the problem is I can't trust any of these people because there's way too many people that believe the education system is kind of decent or savable. Are you kidding me? With what they've been doing it for so long that there's way too many people that have, I'll just say, these shadows of bias within them. even those people that still look at the education system. We need to eradicate the system itself, not just the buildings, the system itself. Who do we give the education system back to? Community organizations such as your churches. I believe you would feel far better off if your churches were actually trying to teach. Now, when I say churches, I mean kind of an open church community type of thing. You know, it's one thing that your church has Sunday school, but when they try to teach education, you know, because it's easy. The Catholic Church, if you go to a Catholic school, you're going to learn the Catholic view of government. You're going to learn the Catholic view of sciences and so forth. So what you need to do, and we can get into this because it takes a lot of time to discuss. We need to really examine who the stakeholders are, or who is the party that is going to inherit the byproduct of our education system. They are the silent partners that need to be directly involved. Silent partners, who are these guys? These are the businesses that have to employ the adults that are coming out of this education system. Shouldn't they have some say of what they really need? You know, if I'm going to be successful in business, I need somebody that can do basic math. I need somebody that understands the physics of, you know, these types of elements and whatever it is that they do, even if it's the geometry for a framer and a carpenter, even if it is accounting and formulas for science and or it doesn't matter. We need to have them drive the curriculum. I don't think any business is better off because, you know, Sally has two mommies or whatever. I don't think we're better off at all. As a matter of fact, I think we're worse off. And I believe it's only proven that. Look at where we rank as statistically on understanding the primary subjects of life. And when I say the primary subjects of life, I mean math, science, those types of things, the important things. And so when we start really looking at what we need to do, if we're not including the employer as a part of this formula, you know, what is it they really need, then we're failing. And I'm telling you, teaching children very essential life-saving things such as, you know, an honest day's work, work integrity, those types of things, I'm going to tell you the schools the employers are going to say, yes, we do need that. We need good integrity in our children. We need honor in our children, responsibility, accountability. How else are we going to? So we need some form of moral guides and some moral founding. We have to abolish, we have to eradicate the entire system and the way it is functioning. I mean, when I was listening to Kirk and Prager, Hillsdale College and Prager University, are you kidding me? They're just as bad. They really are, folks. They're just they're opposite side of the same coin because they're not teaching you what we really need to do. And they're not going to lead you there. They'll just kind of keep you constrained with the conservative view that is the acceptable side of the system. And I'm here to tell you that the whole system should never have been created. They had no authority to do it. When Eisenhower created the Department of Health and Education and Welfare, he had no authority even though Congress gave him the bill to sign. Neither Congress nor he had the authority to approve it. And the Supreme Court was there rubbing their grubby mitts, going, oh boy, we're going to get some jurisdiction over this, baby. Because nobody knew. nobody understood that the federal government's jurisdiction and their powers and their roles and responsibilities and even their property is defined and enumerated in the Constitution. So maintaining context when it comes to topics like this are very, very critical. Now, one of the things that I was brought up to my attention is, you know, this whole concept of law enforcement and how law enforcement today is pushing boundaries that are absolutely violating our Fourth Amendment right. And they're violating, actually, they're violating our constitutional rights, not just our Fourth Amendment right. One of the ways that they violate our constitutional rights is when law enforcement obtains immunity. Let's be clear. The Constitution, the 14th Amendment, Section 1, states that no state shall make or enforce any law that abridges the privileges and immunities of a U.S. citizen by granting law enforcement immunity from their actions of how they treat you is an abridgment of your rights. You're only going to hear this here. Every time I tune in, I always hear the wrong spin on every single one of these topics, every single one of them, because they don't want to challenge the status quo. They don't want to, they understand that the golden eggs that they get from the goose that lays them is the problem. Oh boy, as long as these problems exist, they have an opportunity to make some really good money and give you some great sound bites and become stars. They're rock stars. Come on, look at these guys that are going to these performances, these rallies, and so forth. Look at Trump. That's all he is. He's a shallow rock star. He lacks substance of the Constitution. What does America deserve? Does America deserve this, this greed and this need for vengeance? Or does America deserve a leader that will actually lead us back to our founding principles and restore our constitutional, our hybrid constitutional republic? So anyway, these 360-degree cameras, because we're talking about police and law enforcement, with all of these types of cameras, and I think it's good that when they're getting engaged with anybody that is not a police, then I think it's good that they have the camera, because 9 times out of 10, it has boded better for the individual than for the police officer. So the whole point behind these cameras is to improve accountability of the police officer. I believe the day will come when they can become tyrants by using the law and staying within the law and use the cameras against us. But they're not that smart. They're not at that point yet. They're not at that day. The real problem is the fact that we have law enforcement agencies. In other words, we have mercenaries amongst us that are out there for what purpose? But for money purposes. Because everything is about money. So what's the way we fix this? How do we reform? Well, what's this Constitution say? The Constitution says, and speaking of the cameras, it says that you have a right to be secure in your person, that if the police are collecting imagery of you or anything, of if they walk into your home or if they drive by your property and they're doing all of this spying, did they have the authority? Oh, well, it's in the line of sight. Hold on here. What happens if they find something? They drove by and they didn't see it. They have analysts. And more importantly, instead of having analysts, they have artificial intelligence basically doing target recognition, looking for specific types of things, and that the computer can actually do this better. That they can even get to a point where they don't need a person in the car anymore. And everything is just being gathered. It's an intelligence gathering system. Well, near as I can tell, that's unconstitutional either way. Even if there's a person in the car, it's gathering intelligence. And so if anyone gets arrested, that car drives by and they come back the next day or the next week to basically seize something that they found from the intelligence gathering, that would all be suspect and inadmissible. They would have to actually go to the court and say, well, we need to do this. But the problem is, well, I'm going to let you sit at the edge of your seat while we think about what the problem is with the fact that they can go to the court before they come to your house. We'll be right back after this one promo. I hate bleeding into these things, so we'll be right back. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so before they can get a judge to constitutionally approve of finding something, they have to have something other than evidence that they've already unconstitutionally gathered. So in other words, they would have to actually go back out there. Now, because this is how they could play this. They could actually gather the intelligence. Then they can actually go drive by, you know, because their log will reflect this. That they go, they make a quick report that they see something that we need to investigate. And then they can go back and then tell the judge. See, it's one thing to legitimately actually see something and then go back and say, we just saw this on this property. We need a search warrant to be able to, you know, do the necessary search because this is illegal behavior. And so in doing this, then they have not violated your rights by gathering intelligence, doing analysis, and then coming to do that. It's one thing if they happen to come by and witness this, as the law enforcement officer may see this. But the real solution has nothing to do with law enforcement. The real solution has everything to do with the societal framework of the Constitution. Every citizen has a responsibility to exercise and enforce the law of the land. Every citizen is supposed to be a part of the militia. Every citizen must be willing and able to execute the laws of the Union. And they have to have a good conscientious reason why they can't be the trigger pullers or those who are actually going to ultimately defend liberty. If you become a conscientious objector, and if you have a community that becomes conscientious objectors, then you have a problem. Because bottom line, you know, if when you see this is the epitome of your neighborhood. if you have ideologues that are willing to not defend themselves from people that, you know, like Antifa or some people that want to come into your neighborhood, they're not willing to defend them. And so what ends up happening is who gets attacked? Well, it's the houses that may be getting defended. Well, you would think antithetically that it's the houses that aren't being defended. No. When the whole neighborhood is united, then they have to attack everybody. But instead, if you have just a few people out of the entire neighborhood that is defending it, then they'll leave all of the other houses alone and easily attack the house that is defending itself. Because that's where you know your resistance is. I mean, when the Ukraine and Russia engage, do they go by, Russia likes to do the mass destruction stuff. But when the Ukraine do it, they only go into the buildings and so forth where they're getting resistance. That makes sense. Folks, when we all have the responsibility, and if you fail to enforce the laws of the union, because you don't have to necessarily pull the trigger, but if you do not support the laws of the union, you can be arrested. What does that mean, support? Well, you could be the jailer. You could be somebody that's not actually out there, defending, shooting, and attacking bad doers. You could be somebody like a prison guard, a CP, or CO, custodial officer. Anyway, so there are places for everybody, but you can't be just the pacifist of, I don't agree with government. If you're in that position, then you're no longer a citizen. We should be revoking citizenship and then asking these people, well, where would you like to live? And see, with this attitude, I just want you to understand, let's connect the dots now. If we can't tolerate people that don't want to be a citizen because they're communists, what does that say about the inhabitants, the people that have checked out of the system because they don't like, because they believe the illegitimate government is legitimate, because they've been bamboozled into understanding the wrong thing? See my point? And so when we actually sit down and, play out how we need to deal with everything, the Constitution is really the perfect guide, and what the framers did and how they responded in those very first few years covers over 95% of every situation. When we look at the Whiskey Rebellion, we look at who was supposed to enforce the law. It was we the people. It was the militia. Well, we wouldn't have had that problem had the Pennsylvania people been more indoctrinated, or I should say be more involved in their civil duty of being a militia and understanding the law. They probably would have been more willing to probably even pay the taxation on it. They may not have liked it, and they may have said, well, we need to change this. That's what you do. But none of them at that point in time, because they were that illiterate, none of them understood their First Amendment right of petition, because I don't see anywhere, not one mention of any First Amendment petitions going to the state government to say, hey, they can't do this in accordance with the Constitution or anything like that. Why? Because they realized that the government did have those powers. They may not have liked them, but they did have those powers. And the fact that they revolted against a constitutional power is why they were charged for treason. When we look at protests and petitions today, it has nothing to do with governments exercising unconstitutional powers. And that's what we need to start changing things to. But instead of protests, the protests need to be in your county seat. You need to be poking them in the eye with your protest, with a petition for the redress of grievances. Folks, when we use the system as the tool and the weapon against them, there's nothing they can do. Now, we already know we have problems with courts and all of those types of things. We will get into those things, and we're actually in that space right now in Wyoming. But I am just trying to talk about current little events that are going on that everybody's getting consumed in and they're talking about, but they're not looking at what we should really be doing constitutionally. We shouldn't even have police forces. If we had an act of militia, that means that anybody that actually committed a crime when they were supposed to actually be enforcing the law, because if we're all members of the militia, whether on active service or not, we would actually be excoriated. I mean, we would lose everything. We would lose our citizenship. Ah, when we actually start putting the ultimate price on the line, then when people start violating the law, they should lose their citizenship. But we need to start teaching people that. And I don't think that we need to go from zero to, you know, to out. I believe we need to have maybe a three strikes rule, something. But people need to understand the cost of uncivil behavior. This is a civil society, and when we demand it be a civil society, it will become a civil society. Oh, I just heard some bells go off in your heads. Awesome. I am so blessed. I thank you for having the opportunity to actually open your mind and look at what God gave us. This is a perfect system. Even though Madison didn't think it was, there were some problems with it, but the system itself is perfect. The Constitution needs some improvements, but the system by design is perfect. The problem is that our education system has become antithetical to what the system should be doing and what we all should be doing. You know, we should be willing participants if we love our liberty and we love the opportunity here. If we don't, then that's okay. There's another place we can go instead of going to jail, because I think incarcerating people is just bad. It's inhumane. It's one thing to do this to animals, people that rape, people that murder, and people that do those types of things. It's reprehensible to take a person that has done something that hasn't been so vile and actually allow them to create a long rap sheet from theft here, theft there, you know, drugs or whatever. It doesn't matter. When they are violating the law, which we are all, as members of the militia, are supposed to enforce, then we get a strike. And we have to understand that our citizenship and our ability to vote and be in this nation is in jeopardy. You come up with how many strikes you get. I say the more intense and the tighter we make it, the faster people get the idea. If you give a child, you know, five steps, right? I mean, when a child is looking at its parent and it's pushing the parent, it knows the amplitude, the tone, the strain in the voice when the parent is about to break, and that's when the child behaves. You give the child all the slack you want. You really want to teach a child quickly? Have no threshold. Deliver instant justice. If they violate the line, don't give them warnings. I said no, and that's simple. Folks, I'm J.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in
in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.